Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, yes, you've landed in Juicebox, featured on campus and community radio station CITR 101.9 FM, fresh and live in the Lotus Land of Vancouver. We are so glad you are listening tonight. Maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca or checking out a podcast at later date from juiceboxradio.com. Any way that you came to spend this hour with us, we are glad to have you. And if you have something to contribute to the conversation tonight, please feel free to call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you might just want to call in.
After all, our studio is full of beautiful women.
Oh, my, is it ever.
And they're all pole dancers. We've got Judy Lee, Raven Stroke from Luscious Dance, and we've got Sid Harlow as well. And after the break, we're going to have Sid Harlow. Actually, we're going to interview her. So,
sounds good. Sounds exciting. Sounds like a loaded juice box tonight.
It's
actually heating up in here because there's five of us. A bevy of five babes.
Absolutely. And a multitude of hair color, not just the blonde brunette combo that we normally have.
Yes, we've got red, we've got different shades of brown, and some dark blackish with Caroline. And then I'm the odd blonde out.
Darling, we could have made the Spice Girls with all of us here.
Well, maybe after the show we can go out and do some karaokeing or something.
That might be kind of cool.
The five of us on stage, yes. All right. Well, we're going to be on stage tomorrow night as well, so let's get on to talking about that.
Yeah. And welcome back, ladies. Last week we had you guys on, and you came in to promote the show, and we're going to talk a bit more about that tonight. And tomorrow night you get to see Julia and I, if you want to check out. We're going to be emceeing the show. And I know we've got a copy of the lineup coming up, and including a special appearance from Sid Harlow, who won Miss Nude Canada's Most Original Performance in 2004.
I think I've seen that Sid woman dancing. Is this the one I'm seeing in front of me?
Yes, it is.
I think I've seen you, darling. We're going to hear more from her in the second half
we
of the show.
We are. So Jody Lee, can you tell us the difference between pole dancing and stripping?
Absolutely.
We should welcome our guest. Hi, Jody Lee. And who are you?
This is Raven.
I'm Raven Stroke.
Raven Stroke. Oh, my goodness.
I love the name.
All right. Well, welcome, girls. Thank you very much. Ladies, thank you for coming out and being on Juicebox tonight. So, yes, your question. Caroline, sorry. Go ahead, darling.
So, my darling, why don't you tell me what the difference between pole dancing and stripping is?
Well, it's... it's not a very clear-cut difference. There's a lot of strippers out there who are amazing pole dancers. First off the bat, they're astounding. A lot of pole dancing involves amazing pole tricks and a very theatrical kind of artistic ability to perform around the stage. Strippers do have that, although the focus when they're stripping is the focus on taking off their clothes. So their amazing pole tricks are sort of lost in the background. With pole dancing, we're bringing the focus back to the artistic ability of the actual dance itself.
Nice. So how long have you guys been dancing?
I've been pole dancing for about a year and a half. I trained in classical ballet for about 8 years before starting pole dancing.
I think you're not the only one who does that. I'm getting a thumbs up from Sydney.
Yeah, it helps a lot.
It does. And how have you found, in terms of all your dancing, how long have you been doing it?
Altogether, I started dancing when I was about 5.
Okay.
I took a break in the middle before starting with pole dancing and did some martial arts for a
nice.
While and some other things, tried out some different things.
Does that mean you can do the splits really well with the old martial arts?
I wish. Unfortunately, no.
Not everybody can do the splits, but we do try.
I certainly can't, but I've seen Caroline do it.
But it has definitely helped my flexibility. I couldn't get anywhere near the splits before, and now I can. So.
Absolutely. When my very first pole dancing lessons, I couldn't even touch my toes.
Mm-hmm.
It was that sad. And now I can almost do the splits, so... It's pretty impressive.
Which is really impressive. Where did you go to school?
For pole dancing?
Mm-hmm.
Went to Aradia Fitness. We learned from taking lessons and also online with Vertical Dance. We've been checking out different videos. I think most of the influence has actually come from going to various strip clubs around Vancouver, though.
Nice.
And seeing the different dancers on stage and going, wow, that's really amazing. I wonder if I could do that. So
we've also cool. started doing a lot of learning from each other. We each try to work on a new move. The Luscious dancers, we each try to work on a new move every couple of weeks, and then we bring it back to the group and teach it to each other and try to incorporate different... each other's styles into our choreography.
Give me an example of a move that you guys have been working on lately and describe it to our listeners who may have never seen pole dancing or may have never been to a strip club
okay.
before.
Okay, one move that we were working on, Pink Rain specifically, can do this amazing move where she literally climbs up the pole and then sort of just sits there at the top of it, hooks one knee around the pole, and then just kind of floats and falls back. Well, that looks really amazing. And all of us are like, okay, well, we can all sort of do that. Well, how do you get back up? She actually does sit-ups at the top of the pole, and we're like, wow, that's really amazing.
For a long time.
And we're like, well, we can't really do that, but, you know, we work with each other and challenge each other, and we've decided that with each of our varying styles, there's different ways that we can get back up and then slide down gracefully rather than flipping over and cartwheeling away. So,
how are you incorporating that in the show? I know you're mentioning.
The show tomorrow night.
The show tomorrow night.
The show tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night at the Penthouse
at 6 o'clock.
6 to 8.
And where can they get tickets while we're at it?
You can get tickets online at www.lusciousdance.com.
Nice.
And there's also a phone number on the website as well that you can get a hold of us at. For tickets to tomorrow night's show or for other bookings as well.
Absolutely. And also, it's, I think, a great thing to mention that we're doing this show as a fundraiser for a charity called Beauty Night. So $7 out of every ticket proceed, and the tickets are only $12, the proceeds are going to Beauty Night, which helps an amazing charity.
What made you guys decide to pick Beauty Night?
Well, I think that it's one of these charities that isn't really all that well known around Vancouver, and it's something that really should be. It's a charity that encompasses women and the wellness and bringing programs back to help women. And because we're pole dancers and we're women and we like things that are pretty, and Beauty Night is something that helps women get back in touch with things that are pretty, we thought this would be very appropriate.
Caroline, I mean, come on, the listeners
and
know.
And also,
Caroline's
charity, so.
I was going to ask, is it because of the fact that I asked you perhaps why?
But Caroline, I think we should talk a little bit about Beauty Night, because I think Beauty Night is pretty amazing, and you are doing amazing things, so what is it about?
Well, Beauty Night, what we do is we offer makeovers for women who have dealt with violence in their life to reintroduce touch in a non-threatening way. And a lot of times when women have dealt with sexual violence, it shuts them down emotionally and on a lot of ways where they feel isolated. And we put them in an environment where it feels like a cross between a slumber party and a day at the spa. So it's really, really, really fun. And they get to talk to other women, whether it's the volunteers or whether it's other women who are in the same situation. And it makes them feel really good. And they start believing that so many different things are possible because they start feeling good about themselves. And it's really super empowering.
Mm-hmm. Really beautiful, darling. And I wanted to just have you say it because you say it so well. I think that pole dancing is having this crazy huge impact on the fitness world in the past few years. I mean, I think it started with Sheila Kelly in LA, who runs the S Factor classes. Mm-hmm. Pole dancing for fitness spread across Canada with Aradia Fitness. Aradia's been paramount in making it happen in BC and in Canada. Jody Lee, what made you decide to start taking pole dancing classes?
Well, I was actually dragged into it by a girlfriend of mine who said, you know what, I've heard about this amazing thing. It's called pole dancing. You've got to try it out. And I went, pole dancing? What's pole dancing? She goes, you got to try it out. Basically, you're exercising, but in high heels. Okay. So I went down to this studio and thought, well, I don't know about this. I had this whole preconceived notion that it would be a bunch of Barbie doll perfect women, and how in the world am I going to fit in with that? And it just, I don't know. And walked into the studio, and it's people my own age and people from all walks of life. And it's people who didn't have a fitness level and people who weren't dancers for years and years and years and people who had never seen a pole before. And I thought, wow, if everyone else here can do this, then maybe I can do this. And gravitated to it and thought it was the most amazing thing ever. And it is. It's exercising wearing high heels. You don't even realize that you're working out because you're having so much fun. It's amazing.
So in other words, kind of like Romy and Michelle's high school reunion,
exactly.
In that scene where,
yes,
they're on the treadmill with the
high heels.
The
exactly.
High heels.
Exactly.
Nice. How about you, Raven? How did you start getting into classes?
I was actually flipping channels on the TV one day and saw a show about it. Terry Hatcher, I think, was doing some pole moves on TV.
And was it Oprah?
It was Oprah, and I don't actually normally watch Oprah, but I was flipping channels, and it really caught my eye, and I flipped past it, and then I had to flip back, and I thought, wow, that's something that I need to do, and I tend to sort of try out all sorts of different things, mm-hmm. and get a really... a big breadth of experiences, and pole dancing has kept my interest for a really long time, mm-hmm. because of
it's
all the benefits that I've gotten from it. So,
how has it made a difference in your lives, Raven?
Well, before I started pole dancing, I lived my life very trepidatiously. I was always looking to others for approval, sort of looking to them for how I should live my life. And pole dancing has really increased my confidence. And I walk straight, you know, taller. And
do you do your stripper walk?
I do my stripper walk anytime I'm feeling a little bit down on myself, or I'm, you know, even like if I'm stressed out at school and feel like I can't get a school assignment done, I just think, nope. You know, I learned some kind of crazy hard move last week. I can do this.
So in other words, it makes you believe that other things are possible by doing something physical.
Exactly.
It empowers
Absolutely.
You.
So,
exactly.
But when you tell people that you're a pole dancer, like what kind of reaction do you get? Like, are you out being a pole dancer?
We're definitely out. We tell anyone and everybody that we can.
Raven's parents are one of our best supporters.
They've
be
heard
at the
them
show
a couple
tomorrow
times.
Night. We get really varied reactions. It depends a bit. People tend to have really varied notions about what pole dancing is. So the reactions we get depend very much on what it is that they think that we do.
Give me an example.
Well, some people see it as being, as enhancing negative attitudes towards women and being anti-feminist.
Sometimes they see it as objectifying women when it's mm-hmm. actually the complete opposite. It's empowering women. This is a type of dance that is so amazing because not only does it boost someone's confidence, but it taps into that creative side that you wouldn't necessarily think is there,
But once you start pole dancing, you start thinking of things in a different light. You start looking at things outside the box because you think, wow, this is something I can do. I can take challenges, and I can, if I can do this, then I can do anything. Mm-hmm. And it's so empowering, and it's, most of the time we get a lot of positive feedback. Most of the time people say, wow, you're pole dancing? That's impressive. You can pole dance? Well, if you can do that, well, then I can do that.
Sometimes people are surprised because I'm doing a master's in counseling psychology, and I'm doing my thesis from a feminist perspective. And then people find out that I'm doing that, and then they find out that I pole dance, and they sometimes think that those are opposite or work against each other. But I find that it's quite the opposite.
Well, Raven, you were on the cover of the Georgia Strait a few months ago. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that article?
That was a really interesting experience. Doing the interview really made me think a lot about what my views are on women's sexuality, the sexuality of young women in our culture, and where society kind of does us wrong as young women with our sexuality. And then in terms of the cover shot, it was a lot of fun. I was in a storefront downtown in a bikini upside down on the pole with lots of people walking by wondering what was going on. But and I've gotten all sorts of reactions since doing the article.
Such as?
People recognize you on the bus.
People do recognize me on the bus sometimes. But mostly really positive reactions. A few people sort of kind of seem to miss the point of the article and
you were speaking
also
to
what
the
I was
feminist,
trying to say.
The feminist perspective around this whole thing and also young women's sexuality. So what do you think people were getting out of that article?
Well, what I hoped to express with the article, and I'm not sure that it came through, was really that men's and women's sexuality are seen as very different, which they are different, but not in the ways that I feel like we often in our society do women a disservice in terms of our sexuality. We, it's a lot about how many people you've slept with and she's a slut and it's not a health focused view. It's a really, there's a lot of negative stuff flying around out there about women and their sexuality. And if you portray any sexuality, like even just me being in a bikini on the front of a newspaper, if you're a pole dancer, for instance, if you portray any sexuality out in the media, it's really seen as, by a lot of people, it's seen really negatively. And I don't think that our sexuality should be a negative thing. It's a wonderful thing. So.
Yeah. And I think that men are sort of encouraged to be very sexual beings. And in a lot of times men actually don't want the pressure and don't appreciate the pressure. And it makes them feel inadequate. Mm-hmm. So another topic for another show. But yeah, good to hear that you're doing your little piece around trying to change the perspective of the common culture and things like that. So,
but speaking
very courageous.
Of men, it is very courageous.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you finding when you meet men, both of you? Do you find they treat you differently after they find out you're a pole dancer?
I think it sort of depends. Some guys immediately say, oh, you're a pole dancer, really? Well, then that means you can do the splits and you can put your ankles behind your head and you can do all these amazing tricks and you'd be amazing. And you look at them going, really, is that all you're seeing? Is just the object? That's not what I do. I'm a dancer. And then other guys say, wow, you have the courage to get up on stage and dance around in front of a bunch of people? You're cool. So nice. We have a lot of varied reactions. It depends on sort of their preconceived notion, and it depends on sort of their maturity level. So we get a lot of reactions.
It's a good screening process.
Yeah,
by the
definitely,
sounds of it.
Definitely.
Definitely. How have you found with your women friends when you've, people that you knew before? It's almost like there's before you started pole dancing and the after, the people you knew. And how have those people reacted that you knew before?
I think my friends like me more. Because I'm happier since I found pole dancing, I've been happier and more fun. So I think my friends like me more, and like Jody said, with, you know, with the guys, they mostly, they know that I've got a sort of theatrical streak to me, and I like to be on stage. So they've always just been supportive of the fact that I like to do that, and a lot of them are in awe that
absolutely.
I actually like to be on stage rather than that being torture for me, as it would be for them. So
I find that my friends are not necessarily surprised, but they're very supportive and encouraged that I've sort of found my niche. Before pole dancing, I was very definitely a wallflower. And it's hard to sort of picture now. But,
I'm trying to visualize that.
I was a wallflower and never really had anyone talk to me and never really thought to go out and talk to anyone. And through pole dancing, have tapped into this incredible confidence. And now I find it's easier to make friends. And the friends that I do have think I'm much more charming and much more amazing because I have a more vibrant personality. So it's been a positive influence.
Do you find that, and you kind of touched on this in terms about how guys treat you differently and stuff like that sometimes, that people still associate pole dancing with stripping?
They do. And I think that's because the two are similar in the sense that they're both theatrical. They're both forms of erotic dance.
They're both on the pole.
They're both on the pole, exactly.
Yes.
The focus with stripping is the striptease and the whole, wow, I'm beautiful and I'm going to take my clothes off. Whereas with pole dancing, it's more on the artistic and athletic ability of pole tricks and gravity-defying motions, as well as, of course, the choreography of the different group numbers. So I find that guys are generally very supportive, but you get the odd few that are not so much. The odd few that don't really understand the difference. And
give me an example.
An example.
Which one?
I often get a very sort of tentative question, you know, when I meet somebody new, especially with men. I'll tell them that I'm a pole dancer, and I'll tell them a bit about it, or, you know, about an upcoming show or something like that. And then they kind of go, oh, that's great, that's great. And then there's a pause, and they go, so do you take off your clothes? So they just, it's just, you know, they just don't know what to expect. They don't know what it is that, you know, if they came to the show, what they would see. So
nice. Do you find now that women are I know at some of the centers and things like that they teach, a lot of women are taking pole dancing for fitness. Do you think in terms of, because you're describing it as it's athletic, do you think you can still be sexy and be a pole dancer?
Oh, absolutely. So much of it is about creativity and artistic freedom and style.
Give me an
example. So much of it is very bordering on burlesque kind of influences, where we come out and each song we perform to tells a story. A lot of the different songs and styles we do, we come out as a different character. We make it very theatrical in that sense, and a lot of women are very impressed by that, and a lot of women think, wow, that's really different. That's not at all what I would have expected it to be, and mm-hmm. that's something I can relate to.
And being strong is sexy. I mean,
absolutely.
One of the moves that gets the greatest crowd reaction is Pink Rain's climbing up to the top of the pole and then doing sit-ups at the top of the pole, and it's just, you know,
it's just pure unadulterated athleticism. That's
exactly.
just amazing,
mm-hmm.
right? And it gets you inspired. You're like, oh, I can, oh my God, it'll take me years to get that good. How can she do that? You know, so the shock value. But I was thinking, like, what about Brandy's? I mean, there are times when we go to Brandy's and see the dancers, and there's actually more women in the audience than men.
Oh, absolutely. Because I think women want to see that. They want to see things that are beautiful and things that make them feel good, and they want to be impressed and amazed. And that's one of the things that a lot of strippers do, is they come out in that theatrical element and they have those costumes and they make it a show. And
I think Brandy's does a really good job of that. I think that's probably why
absolutely. People
I bet you half the women in that audience are strippers. Because they're getting their inspiration there.
Oh, completely. I mean, we go to strip clubs all the time for that particular reason. We get inspired by these women.
So what are people going to see at the show tomorrow? What are the key differences from that show and going to see dancers at Brandy's or wherever?
One of the main differences is that for us, we do a lot of, we try to incorporate a lot of group choreography, which is something that you don't tend to see somewhere like Brandy's. So we try to...
Except for your VIP girls, of course.
That's true. So we try to sort of play off each other's styles and put together some group choreography numbers.
Big pause there.
Well, I mean, there's also just the element of dance itself. It's a different form. It's a different form of entertainment for Vancouver. It's something that I think there is definitely a market for. People are interested in seeing this. It's something that's appropriate that parents can come and see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. And I think that people are really loving the burlesque. That's been really huge. So I can see how pole dancing is.
And we have a lot of
associated with that.
Of interlude. I mean, we have our individual numbers, but we also have a lot of interlude numbers that are very burlesque-y.
Give me an example.
Well,
do you mean burlesque in style, or do you mean burlesque stripping down to pasties?
Burlesque in style, with a theatrical flair, and with having a story that you can see what's going on. It's almost like reading a book, or
so going more classic burlesque in terms of where it had its roots from vaudeville.
Absolutely.
Okay. Are you stripping at all on the show, even down to bra and underwear, anything like that? Or
a little bit, because it is a Christmas lingerie sort of themed show. some of the routines we are taking layers off, and some of the routines we're putting layers on. So it sort of depends on at what point in the show you walk into it, and it depends on sort of each of our shows in particular. All of our shows are very different. We do a whole bunch of different range of shows. But
and what works for the character that you're playing in that particular number. So if it makes sense for the character to be stripping off a layer, then whoever's playing that character will be stripping off a layer. And we do tend to get down to a fairly small bit of clothing because we need our skin to stick to the pole. So
nice. Besides Pink Rain's sit-ups, is there any other moves? What's your favorite moves that you like doing?
Ooh, one-handed spins, all of our double spins where there's two girls on the pole at the same time. A lot of the very big sort of hair-tossing kind of spins.
We each sort of have our signature moves that we've agreed, look best for each of us. So mine is called an advanced peony into advanced fireman into backwards into leg splay.
Nice. It's a very combo move. Looks but, amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys, thank you so much for coming to the studio tonight. Julie and I will get to see you tomorrow night at the show. So listeners, check out lusciousdance.com for more information.
We're super excited about it, by the way.
We are emceeing it.
We are going to be working a little bit, but we're super excited. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. We have to take a short break. We welcome your calls during this time. Please call in with your questions or comments on tonight's show. Get yourself on podcast forever. 604-822-2487, and keep that dial locked. Caroline, do you have anything else to add?
Other than when we come back, we're going to be back with Sid Harlow, one of Canada's top dancers. And she'll be in the show tomorrow night, too.
Right on. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
One, two, three. My sexual preference is my bathtub faucet. You might say that I'm in a water closet. Now my tank is too small and my water bill is high. But my faucet and I get happily by. Faucet and I, bye. I'm a hydrosexual.
Puts me in the mood. A faucet can't take your heart and run. After all, it's just good, clean fun. When it's all said and done, fun. Check out the taps on that one.
Life with a faucet really is a breeze. You won't get pregnant or a strange disease. And if worse comes to worse, things go south. Don't worry, baby, there's your trusty shower. Go with the flow, take me under. I think I'm getting all wet, too. My water bill is high, but my faucet is high.
Oh. Oh.
Stripping down to the bone. What are you?
Stewie. Hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh. Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh. Well, all right then. That's good, OJ. Yeah, that hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah.
This public service announcement is a thank you to all you listeners who donated during CITR's first fund drive. You've helped us continue to keep delivering you, the listener, with the diverse, independent, and quality programming you've come to expect. This is also a reminder that if you did pledge, please come down to CITR, pay your pledge, and collect your swag. For example, t-shirts, CDs, and all other merchandise that was offered with your pledge. Once again, to all of our listeners, all our supporters, thank you for supporting CITR 101.9 FM.
You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Yeah, clean yourself up.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
You're back in Juicebox, and thanks for listening. Tonight we're talking about pole dancing and stripping. If you missed the first half of the show, you can get it by podcast by tuning into juiceboxradio.com or citr.ca after the show. For those of you just tuning in, Luscious Dance has dropped by the studio to promote their show tomorrow night, and they're still here. In case you have any questions, you can call in. Also, for the second half of the show, our special guest is Sid Harlow. So we're excited about seeing your work tomorrow night at the Luscious Show. So what kind of piece are you doing?
Oh, well, something simple. Some wax and some kind of bondage ropes, but of course it's a Christmas theme, so, well, I'll throw a nod towards Christmas, shall we say, but no Christmas music. I usually do bondage, like kind of bondage fetish shows, so
nice.
I'll tone it down a bit, but something a little different, yeah.
It's okay, with the Christmas music, I think Jody Lee's got enough pieces that will make up for that.
Oh, no worries, good, okay.
Is it your first time doing burlesque?
Yes, I guess it is, yeah.
Nice. How would you describe the difference between burlesque and stripping?
Well, I mean, there's the obvious. With stripping, you get completely naked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I do at work. Burlesque, you don't. I know that, I mean, traditionally burlesque, from the little that I know of it, I've seen one really good show, actually. They involve a lot more theater, I think, some character, some acting, like the girls were saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get totally naked. I don't even know if burlesque usually uses a pole, traditionally. No, eh?
Okay. No.
Yeah. So it's it came out of vaudeville, actually, it's from what I know, and you can even argue, if you want, that modern dance back in the day, like back in the 1800s, sort of began the trend towards burlesque. Nice. I read a book about it once. I can't remember all the facts, but I do remember that.
I may have to borrow it because that sounds really cool.
Oh, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. I'd love that. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
What else was I going to ask you? I was going to ask you in regards to... with burlesque, actually, you and I were out and we saw a show, and I think that's the show you're talking about.
Yeah, the Sweet Soul.
Yeah.
Burlesque, they were absolutely awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. I've never seen anything quite like it, and men and women love it. That's what's so great about it. It's not just catered towards one sex.
What do you think that they like about it so much, that it caters to women as well as men?
Oh, God, I don't know. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's sexual and sensual without challenging too much people's level of comfort. Do you know what I'm saying?
Understood.
So, it's somewhat theatrical, somewhat dramatic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it involves, you know, different body shapes, too. So that, I think that really sort of eases people into it. You know, it's not just you have to be, you know, I don't know, 24-inch waist and
yeah.
God knows what. It's quite varied.
No, it's yeah. really true in terms of that. You're mentioning when we saw that show that night that you thought it was really that every stripper should see the burlesque.
Well, I think so, yeah, because with a lot of us, I mean, that we do it, you know, when you work a full week, it's, you know, every night of the week you're up there, you sort of forget. I think sometimes people forget to get involved, to be actually present during the striptease, if you know what I'm saying.
I do.
Well, I mean, it becomes boring sometimes. You don't want to be there some nights, and you have to make it work for you, right? I think they forget the human connection between audience and performer. I think that's what happens. And some dancers, too, some strippers, too, get too involved with the pole work because they're bored. Mm-hmm. So they do a bunch of tricks, but there's no sensuality present. So that's, you know, it's not a gym class here. It's a striptease. And we tend to forget that, you know, because we do it all the time. And you have to remind yourself of that.
No, it's true. I know even with Luscious, the girls are really, really super sexy. And even though they're talking about just in terms of strength and they are really, really super strong, they are sexy too. And
From what I hear them say, that's kind of the point of it.
It's lovely. Yeah.
Athletics combined with sensuality, mm-hmm. and certain artistic expression.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you're saying earlier too, I know I've seen some dancers where they really do lose track of it, where it's sometimes... Yeah, they just get lost into that, oh, cool, trick.
Or simply, I'm bored, I'm doing my thing, you know?
Yeah, or the walkers.
For the, you know, millionth time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, it's challenging to keep it fresh, right?
It's true. Mm-hmm. You've been an inspiration to dancers and pole dancers all across the country. So what made you decide to enter the world of dance?
Well, which dance are you talking about?
Well, right from the beginning. Let's start from when you were a kid.
Well, I was a ballerina before, actually, mm-hmm. and I was... quite very good at it, and by the time I was 17 or 16, I went to the school of Le Grand Ballet Canadien in Montreal, but by the time I went, I was already very injured. I had a lot of tendonitis, arthritis problems, whatever. So foot injuries ended my career as was about to begin, basically what happened with that. So I was very depressed for years, of course. Ballet was my life, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, life went on, went to New York, did acting classes, did this, did that, survived. Came back here to Vancouver, and when I was 27, for lack of finding another job, literally, I began stripping. And I wanted to striptease earlier, but didn't have the guts to do it until my back was pushed against mm-hmm. the wall. And then I really got into it, and I really enjoyed the dramatic aspect of it and creating the show and all you know, everything about it, basically.
So do you find it's a creative outlet as well in terms
For me now, yeah. I mean, I don't dance full-time anymore. So, yeah, it's a creative outlet.
Nice.
Goes well with my acting, too. I'm sort of going into that more and more. That's my next career, mm-hmm. though. But I find that the acting lends itself to the stripping and vice versa.
It's
true. Both of them improve each other, so to speak, yeah.
What's your favorite show that you've done? You've got quite a few different pieces I've seen you do.
I don't really know if I have a favorite one. I mean, I guess the Bride show that I've done... is one of my favorite ones. I mean, I'm not going to describe the whole show. It's going to take forever. The other one is The Corporate Whore, which is actually quite funny. It's I come on with a suitcase and I'm dressed in a business suit, and the show gets more and more fetish. I have all my fetish stuff mm-hmm. in the suitcase, which says Corporate Whore on it, which is kind of a nod towards, you know, selling out for money, which a lot of people assume that stripping is. And for some people, it is that, you know, let's be honest. Whatever, the show goes on from there. In the end, I have a gun that I pull out. I won't go into more details, actually.
The girls love it. We've got the Luscious girls in the studio.
You know what? So. Come and see me sometime dancing. You'll probably see me do that show at some point.
Yeah, you should see it if you get a chance. The Luscious girls are clapping.
I'm not doing it tomorrow, though.
No, but you're doing another show.
I'm doing something else tomorrow.
Can I ask a question? Do you think that stripping can be empowering to women?
Yeah, sure. You know what? Depends on the woman's view who's doing it. If you feel like a victim, you look like a victim, you are a victim, okay? If you're bitter and you're just in it for the money, that also goes through because you're miserable. It's empowering if you're enjoying it, you know? And since you control the moves that you do on stage, it's up to, you know, that... And it's also not what you're showing, it's how you're showing it, okay? You know, I can sit there, spread my legs... feel like a whore. I can sit there, mm-hmm. show my pussy, which, by the way, if you're a stripper, you have to do. You have to show all your, you know, the body parts mm-hmm. to get paid. That's your job. You have to. You can't just not get naked or whatever. That's not a choice, right? That's the nature of the biz. So I can do that and feel good about myself, or I can do certain moves and not feel good about myself. It's like we've all seen, any of us who've gone to strip bars have seen dancers, and we kind of go, oh, God. You know, you turn away when they get naked. You feel kind of embarrassed for them mm-hmm. or sorry for them. Then you see other dancers. You don't feel that, and that's because they don't feel, you know, they don't feel victimized or ashamed or whatever the hell it is. So you're comfortable watching, they're comfortable watching, it's good, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it can be empowering or not. It's up to you.
Have you had, when you started, was there certain dancers that just really inspired you?
Yeah, there were a few. She's not dancing anymore, but Honey Tyler was always one of my favorite dancers. She danced to metal, which is what I danced to, and it took. Now it's a bit more accepted, but even so, a lot of clubs still won't let you play that kind of music or whatever. There were a few others. It's just, you know, it's been such a long time that I've thought about that. None of them are dancing anymore, really. Oh, I really like Misha L, actually. She still dances.
Nice.
Very different style than myself, but very sexy girl. I think Misha L and Honey Tyler stand out the most right now. I just don't have time to think of the other names.
What made it that about them that did it make inspire you in some way just to change your show sometimes? Do you ever see...
Not to change my show, just, I mean, to be comfortable with doing less. When nice. We begin, most of us rush around. You can't see us. It's one pole trick, another trick, you know, dance to every beat.
Mm-hmm.
And standing there and simplifying. And I mean, an 18-minute show, it's a long time to get naked in. 18 minutes is a long time. It's actually, I find, too long, but whatever. That's the industry standard these days. Oh, yeah, go ahead, move the mic. hopefully what I've said has been intelligible to all you listeners, but where was I? Yes, simplicity, economy of movement, and that's something that,
totally get that
confidence, you know, just to stand there for a few beats,
mm-hmm.
just to take something off.
Well, just even to be, yeah. even to just have somebody absorb you visually, you know,
have
if you're constantly moving,
yes.
people can't always mm-hmm. absorb that, and so it takes a bit of a break, it gives you a break, but it also gives the peer person
yeah.
watching you a chance to just like let things filter in.
That's
you know,
right.
I'm being an
yeah.
educator and doing my master's in education. Mm-hmm. I'm learning more and more about how people learn, how people absorb, and how they enjoy life around them, and how they see
yeah.
and be seen. So that's very you know, it's very interesting.
Stillness
saying that.
Is,
yeah.
is something that is learned through confidence
mm-hmm.
and is a key
yeah,
element.
Right.
Same with acting, actually. Stillness, knowing when to move, when to speak, it's very important.
It's true.
Yeah.
People get 90% of their information from what they see.
Movement,
yeah.
and movement never lies.
It's true.
Sometimes
we're getting
but
all
true.
Profound here. This is
oh, yes. It is very profound.
It is. No, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Through the industry, because you've been in there for a couple of years now.
Well, four and a half.
Yeah, actually,
one and a half.
To do the math.
Yeah.
Because we know it's not my strong suit, but you've probably seen all different types of women in the industry.
Yeah.
In terms of that, have you seen everything from like business woman who has always wanted to do it where she comes in there to different, like, what's the gamut in terms of like the types of people, like student paying for their student loan?
Well, like any job, there's everything. It's,
okay.
it's like a waitress, it's varied. There's single mom supporting kids, there is
mm-hmm.
girl going to school, there's someone who doesn't know what to do with their life and they're doing this right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for a long time. Everything. It's a job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say it. There's everything in there. Everything.
No, that makes sense. What advice would you give someone who wanted to get into the industry?
Well, know what you're doing it for. If you want to make a ton of money, be prepared. That means that you have to do a lot of private dances. It means you have to be a salesperson. You know, if you're good at that and that makes you feel good, then great. If you're expecting to do a lot of money simply doing stage shows, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
See you later. I know that's an issue. That was an issue with me when I started because I'm not a good salesperson. Talking to people and chatting them up for private dances is not my specialty, so I don't do it. But it took me a while to come to terms with that. You might not know why you're doing it right away, but get a grip on it pretty quick because it can be
mm-hmm.
pretty miserable if you're struggling there. Also know that it's not a PC business, obviously. You know what? If you're bigger than you know, a certain image that they want, well, you're not going to be working. That's the reality. So be prepared for that, you know?
Yeah.
It's not all about, you know, we're women, you know, big is beautiful. In some businesses, the bookers or the owners will not necessarily agree with that. And we all know that that may not be the truth in
mm-hmm.
for all men or whatever. And I've seen many beautiful women that are bigger, that are very sexy, who are successful.
For example,
all.
When we were talking about Sweet Soul earlier, Crystal Precious is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that's
what I think is interesting there on that subject is mm-hmm. around burlesque, and I'm coming back to that because I think it's having a profound effect on a lot of things that we're talking about tonight around people's, you know, women's self-esteem, self-empowerment, just feeling more beautiful, having society start to accept a little bit more different kinds of bodies and not having it mm-hmm. be the standard stripper body,
mm-hmm.
which you're talking about right now. Sid. I love your name, by the way. Anyway, I stumbled on it there. My favorite, I stumbled. But yeah, I think it's really empowering. I mean, I think burlesque is taking society on a very good curve. And
I agree.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
I hope that it starts to affect the stripper world as well, because that's when we're going to start to reach out to the average, man out there who's in the stripper bars, coveting these perfect bodies that so many of us mm-hmm. can never achieve.
Well, on that note, I have to say that, like, within a certain, margins, not all of us have these perfect bodies that are on stage. Obviously not. I mean,
I've seen hundreds.
They have quite a variety going on there. But there's still a certain standard, a certain, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's over a size 8 or 10, I would say, You know what I mean?
Yeah, not over size 8. Mm-hmm.
For striptease,
yeah,
I mean.
But I love that the burlesque is just making women's bodies, all kinds of women's bodies, look so sexy and mm-hmm. actually be as coveted.
Oh, yeah,
I was
surprised, because I'm quite, I'm an ex-ballerina, this and that, so I'm, I got my own issues about weight and God knows what else, but I'm always very, thin is beautiful, and that's, I'll tell you that, I'm honest here, but when I saw, what's her name, Crystal Precious there, she was my favorite dancer all night, and she's,
she's
a bigger woman.
Yeah.
She's Rubenesque. And she was absolutely hot. And if I say that, mm-hmm, that's saying something. Because
she's seen so many as well, too.
Yeah, and I'm,
she's got high standards.
Yeah, but not just that. But I'm also very prejudiced towards a thinner physique. I am. That's how I am.
Well, because you do have a ballerina physique, I can see.
Well, something like that, I guess. Yeah, but so if I can go for that, so can you guys.
Yeah. Expand your mind.
Yeah, oh, exactly, and more than your mind, I would say.
Yeah. In the industry, there's a lot of plastic surgery that happens.
Yeah.
What type of stuff do you usually see more than anything?
Well, the breast implants are the most common, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then some people get their lips done. Some people get their nose done. Then there's
what kind of lips do they get done?
Well, mostly the mouth. But there are some people that I know that some girls have clipped their pussies as well.
Yeah, they get the inner labia, the inner folds that tend to be a little bit longer than the other.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, there's a bit of that. Well, that's a very hot surgery just in general, not just in...
That's been happening all over.
I read an article about it. This is the hot new thing.
Well, yeah, women reducing their labial size. Frankly, I just can't get it. I'm a meat girl. I like my women to have some good meat down there. I don't have enough. I feel like I need to, can I get surgery to add to it? I don't know.
I'm happy with myself the way I am. So.
I'm not perfectly happy with myself the way I am, and I'm not getting any plastic surgery. There you go.
No, there's, with the, going back to the breast implants, a couple weeks ago we went and saw that one dancer who has broken, I'm trying to remember her name, but she'd broken Crystal Storm, who has broken Guinness Book of World Records, like crazy.
Well, that's an extreme. That's an extreme example.
Yeah.
My take on it is, I've done very well in the business without fake tits, but that's because I, worked my ass off mm-hmm. and did different shows than everybody else. So I worked triply hard, shall we say. My opinion, the whole boob thing, most girls don't do it for the business anymore because you don't necessarily get paid more if you have fake tits these days. In general, you do, but not necessarily, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Most girls do it, as they say, for themselves. I'm not too cool with that. Actually, my opinion, to be very honest with you, I'll give it to you right now, and it's not PC. When I see someone with fake tits, I think she might as well hold up a sign saying, "Hi, I have no confidence. Yeah. I need fake tits so that you like me, essentially. And so I feel better. So if you like me more, pay more attention to me, I like myself better." That's my honest opinion about it. I know it's not... I like a lot of girls that have fake tits and this and that, but
I totally agree. Truer words couldn't have been spoken, and they're hard to hear because a lot of people out there that have had implants and or feel super bad about themselves because they have these smaller breasts and they just, they get the implants and they feel like a million times better, and if it makes them better and makes them function in their lives, then good for them. Well, I think to myself, well, they would be fine if the society wasn't so fucked up and like telling them that big tits is where it's at. Mm-hmm. And so, no, it's not a good thing. It never will be.
It's also just pushed by the industry. Hey, it's a moneymaker, right? So,
exactly.
Hey, it's like the fashion magazines, which, by the way, I love fashion magazines. I'm nothing against it. But it's a business to make money. It's like, have this. If you have this thing, then you'll feel better. This will make you feel better. And now, what else? And I mean, it's so easy to promote images of fake boobs, and they're expensive, and oh, great, some people are making a lot of money. That's all.
Yeah, that's
business.
True.
You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I just think it's a waste of money myself. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it actually does scare me about the fact that kids are getting that for grad presents in the States.
Oh, that's just disgusting. Whatever. You know what? Have confidence. Your body isn't perfect. So fucking what? That's my opinion.
I like that. I may have to steal that.
There's more
that.
Important things in the world to be worried about.
Yes, there is. Yeah, like poverty.
You know, how about becoming a more interesting person so people are more interested in you? How about that?
It's true. No, it's true.
Oh, but that's harder work, you know? You can't just pay for that. You actually have to go out there and experience life and experience heartbreak and rejection and whatever else not and become interesting. Oh, well, I guess I'll just go spend seven grand and get a pair of fake tits. Well, whatever. Go ahead, honey, you know.
Yeah, you could spend $7,000 and take a trip for 5 years around the world.
You know,
that will
I would
make
love
you
to
the
do
most
that.
Amazing person at the end of it that,
yeah,
you know anyone
right.
would want to fall in love with, you know, so...
Yeah. Certainly listen to, let alone look at. There's a difference there as well.
No, it's true. Yeah. When you first started dancing, how did let's see, how did you learn to dance, like on the pole?
Oh my God, I taught myself, obviously. Well, there was
there
no school to go
back
to.
There.
Yeah. Well, I had no money. I was literally completely 100% broke. I did because, you know, when I started, I was very poor and I was very, very skinny from starvation, literally, from having no work. I also had a large tattoo on my stomach, which I still have, that's quite controversial. So it was very difficult for me to find work at all. So I was given all the very low-paying gigs out of town. Mm. And I did all the worst gigs that, you know, that you could possibly do.
Give me an example.
Where I didn't know, I'm not going to give you an example.
Okay.
So, it didn't matter how bad I looked on stage. I could fuck up and try this trick, try that trick, till I was able to do it. But most of my moves are kind of original because I learned them myself. So a lot of the standard moves that many girls do, I find too difficult and can't do, actually.
Which blows
so
me away.
My moves are not very good on the body either, but they're a little different. Yeah.
Would you say dancing in general is hard on the body?
Well, I came into the business with a lot of injuries from ballet, so that's something else. Plus, I have my back isn't in the best condition. But, yeah, and it depends what you do up there. Yeah, it's hard on the body, sure.
That's true.
Yep, no pain, no gain.
Actually, I was going to ask, do the bruises ever stop?
Well, not for me. I mean, I don't dance full time anymore, so my body's always in shock. I keep I bruise like crazy, though.
Oh,
that's just me. I don't care. I don't tan either, so yeah, you see everything.
Oh, I was just gonna say everybody else does. So.
Yeah, well, I'm white, man. Why do I have to be another color? I'm white, so I'm not tanning. The bruises get less, definitely.
Now, these girls are fully bruised, I'll just have you know, listeners. They're just full-on bruised from, like, well, hip to, I don't know, shoulders.
Well, I'm so weak. I have these bruises. I just don't know how the hell I have. I'm like, what? How do I get these bruises?
They're not unidentified party injuries? Yeah. That's how
no,
I get mine.
I didn't drink for about 8 months. I still had bruises. Yeah. It ain't the partying, which I do very little of these days, as I am so busy.
So I do appreciate that there's schools now, because, like, for example, as a sex educator, there really has not been any schools until the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And sex education is getting a lot better out there.
Thank
so of course
God. Yeah,
you know,
it's
yeah,
time, God damn it.
Exactly. So I think that the quality of dancers, I mean, I don't know, I've seen an improvement. Do you think it has anything to do with the pole dancing classes? Like,
I think a little bit, because we have a lot more women in the audience these days too, not just pole dancing school women, but women in general. It's very chic now for, like, the 19, 20, 21 year olds to go out to the strip bar.
Mm-hmm.
With guys, or to meet guys there, or whatever it is. So, and they're not so easily satisfied, these audiences. It's not just enough to take your clothes off. Even the men, it's the same thing. Nudity is everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the standard, I think it's gone up a little bit. I've noticed that too. Especially the young girls, or the new girls coming into the business, tend to want to do a little bit more on stage other than just parade around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's a little bit too, just because nudity is so everywhere, porn is everywhere, and nudity is no longer a novelty, so you gotta sort
of
up
the ante. That's a really good point. Yeah,
you gotta up the ante a little bit. I think that has, and the pole dancing school is sort of part and parcel of that new attitude, I think. Yeah.
No, it's true. What was I gonna tell you?
I don't know. I'm thinking we've got a few minutes left. I could go on for hours. This is great.
No, I could too. But, Oh, my goodness.
Okay, she's having a blank. That's okay. I can take over here.
All right, far away.
So I think for me, what I see with strippers, dancers, and even in the pole dancing and burlesque experiences that I've seen, uh-huh. is that women are having a chance to express themselves and express their sexuality, and that brings us back to... Sorry, Lee, what's our one of our guests here? Sorry,
Jody
darling.
Lee.
Jody Lee, excuse me. What she was speaking to earlier in the show around just how, you know, empowering women's sexuality in ways that we can express that and have it not be a dirty thing, have it not be something that's unacceptable or hidden behind the dark closed doors of the strip club. And now it's kind of out in the street. People are enjoying it. There's like these pole dancing classes and sex shows and
Sorry.
Okay. Another this interruption. Is, this it is looks my, like a clitoris.
This is Hans Claus and his Misery Hours coming up next, of course. And he arrives in the station all the time, and he does things to us to shock the juice box girls.
I didn't see that part. I just saw the top. It looked like the female thing. I didn't see the bottom.
He's put in front of us the CD cover that says "The Residents Present Tweaker" or something, and it's got this guy with this huge cock with this big bubble on the end of it.
It looks like a clown nose.
And very lurid colors.
And there's teeth painted on the sides, so it's kind
like
of looks
the porn
anyway.
Version of Tim Curry.
We love this guy. We love this guy.
We do love him. We're going to have to take care of him one of these days.
I think so. What are you talking about? What kind of taking care, young lady?
Oh, I guess you better be careful in case his wife's listening.
Yeah. His lovely wife. His beautiful
who's
wife.
Who's very, very nice, who we haven't met yet. But
okay, so we're going to wrap it up. We've got 2 minutes. Thank you to the guests. You guys are amazing.
Guys, thank you
thank
so
you all.
Much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And we're going to get to see you guys tomorrow night, so we're looking forward to it. So thank you guys for coming on to the show. So for those of you out there, don't forget to check out the show and Let's Just Dance, and it's tomorrow night. And where is it again, you guys?
It's at the Penthouse. Doors open at 6. The show starts at 6:30 and runs until about 8 o'clock.
And Julie and I, we hope that we've offered you an insightful show this week, and we're going to be back next Wednesday with another original Juice Box. And in the meantime, feel free to email us about your issues or questions about sexuality or relationships at julia@juiceboxradio.com. And you can listen to the past shows, check out the blog, and keep up to date with what's happening next, which we will have some workshops coming up in January. Perhaps you might want to contribute your thoughts about shows or the content, and it's good to know that you're listening.
We love the fact that you're listening. Can you tell that Caroline's reading that? Maybe we should just add this into our outro so we don't have to say it every week.
That would
week.
Be great.
We'll just record a new outro, okay, everyone? All right. So thanks for dropping into Juicebox Radio. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to give up to me. You're gonna have to